What I'm going to share with you this morning, I have a confession to make. In preparing this sermon, I had to change my testimony. You know what a testimony is? A testimony is your story. You know, it is a story about how you experience God. So I'll tell you how in just a few minutes. But I want to start by reading a passage from Ephesians, because it's kind of the starting point from where we're going, although it's not where we're going to stay in the whole time, but it's our key point here. I'm going to read the first 15 verses of chapter 5, and it's from the NIV. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because they're improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man's an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, don't be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper. Rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live. Let me read that again. And notice the word then. Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what God's will is, what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wow. Now, the reason that I read these is you read those things and you think, wow, it's a long list of things that you ought not to be doing, and How can you do that? And then it follows, and I'm not going to read this, but it follows with instructions for husbands and wives and relating to one another. Goes on in chapter 6 to talk about children and parents. There have been a whole plethora of things that have been going on in the Scripture, and I want to propose to you that the answer to a key question is found in these verses, especially towards verse 18. And that's where I kind of want to camp. Verse 18 is the one that says, I'll just read it to you. Do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. That's the negative. Instead of that, I want you to be filled with the Spirit. You see, none of these things can be accomplished if you're not allowing God to fill your life. Now, let me say just parenthetically, and I'll talk about this again in context, but just so you get the perspective. When you received Christ and he came into your life, it was the Spirit of Christ that came into you, the Holy Spirit. The same thing that gave him life while he was here on earth is now present in us. And when we received Christ into our lives, when he came in, he didn't come in as the physical body of Christ. He came in as the Spirit of God in our lives. And when we receive him, we receive all of him, not part of him. So when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, it's not that we didn't get enough. It's the Spirit is saying, or actually, Paul is saying, you have all the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit sometimes doesn't have all of you. And that's the meaning behind this. And I would say, in keeping all that's in the book, if you miss this part, then you miss the power, the strength, in order to be able to do any of this. Because remember what we said in the weeks that have passed? What can we do without Christ? Let me hear it from you. What can we do without Christ? We have to have the power of God in order to be able to fulfill all that God has for us. This gift of the Spirit, the gift of Christ in our life, is a free gift. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. It's free. Now, let me give you just a little bit of the background to this one verse, this part of the Bible, of Ephesians. You see, in Ephesus, the Christian church took root and began to grow, first among some of the Jewish people in large. All right. He says, pull this, like this. Man, am I wired this morning. Oh. Many of the people that are coming to worship were from a Greek background. They weren't Jewish at all. And they came from a history of their gods. You see, yeah, that didn't work, but it was a good idea. You know what? You can cut to this one. That's fine. There were Greek people, and they had worshipped many gods for a long time. Now, one of those gods was Bacchus, who was the god of wine. And the people who were receiving this letter understood that when those people worshipped, they would all get together, and they would drink as much wine as possible, and they'd get wasted. And they would sing these raunchy songs. And the drunker they got, the raunchier the songs got, and that was considered to be worship. So when he writes, I mean, this is like flashing lights to some of those people, because what they're seeing for the first time is, whoa, okay, there's a contrast here. It's not that way. There's only one God, and it's not getting drunk with wine, but it's letting God be God, and it's being filled with the Spirit, and that's going to result in the verses that follow. There'll be psalms, there'll be making of music, there'll be celebration, there'll be thanksgiving, and there'll be totally sober. And it's not, this is the verse that's not so much against never having alcohol touch your lips, but it's saying don't let anything but God control you. And most of us would recognize that a person who does get wasted, one way you could describe him is out of control. God doesn't want us to be out of control. He wants us to allow him to guide and direct our lives. So that is a long introduction, but wow. Hey, we could go home now. Because if you could take that with you, how wonderful would that be? Now, I want you to notice that I'm going to place this someplace else. I may be a slow learner, but I got another one, so all right. All right. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my story. Many of you have heard my story before. I was a junior in high school. I went to a Youth for Christ rally. Ever hear of Youth for Christ? Went to a Youth for Christ rally in my high school. Now, I was a member of the Key Biscayne Presbyterian Church. I was the president then, because I was in high school, of my youth group. I went to this meeting because the girl that I was dating wanted to go. So I was deeply motivated. Now, at the end of this service, they did something that at first was kind of troublesome. They kept singing this song over and over again. Just as I am. Now, I wanted to be polite. There were some people who were wanting to respond, so I got out of the way. I just backed up a little bit. Now, I don't know if it was the fifth or the 15th time that they sang that. No, I don't. They didn't sing it 15 times. But there was a point in it where the strangest thing happened. I needed to go forward. I didn't want to, but I needed to. I don't know. I can't explain it to you, so I went forward. Well, Youth for Christ was new in the school. It happened to be in my high school. It was new in the school, and this rally was one of the first rallies. The person in the back who talked to me about my coming forward, first of all, was a really sharp-looking girl, high school girl. But anyway, that didn't impress me. But she had no experience, so she shared a couple of pretty verses, and I left. And I would point, and for most of my life, I've pointed to that as the place where I met the Lord. But you know what I've discovered? I don't think I met the Lord then. I think I was responding to the Lord wanting me to meet him. But my life didn't change. And what I've discovered is when we meet Christ, when we invite him into our life and he comes in and the Spirit of God fills us, it changes things. There's a word we use called repentance, which means a change of attitude, a change of mind, a change of direction. I didn't change direction. I became president of the Youth for Christ club in my school. In my college years, in the early part of my college years, I became sponsor of the youth group that I had been a member of. But, you know, I was trying to do it all in my own power. I didn't realize it at the time. But let me walk through this a little bit. I really didn't understand that night what I was doing. It was just that urgency. Now listen to the Ephesians again. Among you there must be not even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. And let me underline any kind of impurity from my point of view. Because sexual immorality wasn't my thing. Or of greed. Those are improper for God's people. Nor should there be obscenity or foolish talk or coarse jesting, which are out of place. And verse 8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Well, my life was dim at best. All right, it was dark. I guess if we're confessing, we might as well go the whole nine yards. And then it says, find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Be very careful then how you live. Well, I wasn't. Darkness did better describe my life. Then it says, don't live unwisely, but live wisely. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Now, if that doesn't describe today, I don't know what does. The days are evil. And the main pervasive thing that we struggle with is we have a tendency to want to fit in. And so we end up making compromises, and we don't really think of them as compromises. I mean, we're a little uncomfortable at first, but then it really gets easier. Man, I read the papers. Well, not so much the papers anymore. It's the internet now where I get most of my news. And people are offended by the darndest things. I really don't understand it. But it's a dark world. And If I look back, one of the things I watched recently on TV are some of the old Happy Days. And Gilligan's Island. Stupid. I can't believe I watched that and liked it. Anyway. But watch our Hogan's Heroes. But what? See, now, you guys don't understand. Maybe you saw it on late night TV, but it just shows you how old I am. And one thing I've known, I knew I was going to get old. I just didn't know it was going to happen this fast. Contrast that to any series that you can see on TV today. Now, when did we learn to tolerate that? One step at a time. And so when I read this, I was under conviction. In public, I could claim these things, and you know, I could say that I was a Christian. I thought I was a Christian, but you know what? There wasn't any evidence inside. I don't know how to explain it to you. Paul does it in Romans 7. He said, the things I want to do, I don't do, but those things that I it's all flip-flopped. I want to do what's right, but I don't want to do what's wrong, and even though I want to do what's right. Let me fast forward from those days. This went on, by the way, from a junior in high school until, frankly, after I had finished my first 4 years of college. It took me 6 to get through 4. I know, see, some of you know. My dad, at the end of the 4th year, said, son, love you, but I paid for 4 years. You ain't none, but I am. Now, he said it much more palatably than that. But nevertheless, I had a problem. I have no idea what I was really going to major in because I was still 2 years away from a major. It was in the middle of the Vietnam War. And I knew that if I dropped out of school, I would be drafted. And my conviction was if I were drafted, I would serve. I couldn't. That's just where I was. I knew if I dropped out of school, I probably would never come back. That's in my thinking at the time. And so I had a problem. And I got alone. And it was actually near the parking lot in a little picnic area. And I found myself praying to God. And I'll tell you, I can remember almost exactly word for word, but I can't remember word for word, but the gist of it was this. Lord, I can't do this. Well, it's about time I figured that out. I want to do whatever you want me to do, but I can't do it on my own. I've tried, and I can't. And unless you work some kind of miracle for me, I just can't do it. And you know what? For the first time in my life, I actually surrendered. I didn't say, God, you've got a deal here. I'm talented. I can do a lot of things for you. Or it wasn't assumed I'd keep on keeping on and just be better at being me. I realized I couldn't do it. Now, I want to say something to you. If you prayed to receive Christ, as I prayed to receive Christ, but your life has not changed or didn't change, then you're still in process. It's okay to be in process. But if you really want to experience all these things like joy, love, peace, all the fruit of the Spirit, you have to surrender. You cannot do it on your own. That changed my life. Look at, if you have your scripture open to you, verse 17 says, therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, what's going to follow is the Lord's will. So listen up. Understand what the Lord's will is. It's not being controlled by anything but God. Don't get drunk. Don't get wasted on wine. That only leads... Now, he uses this big word. Now, I know you use this word 2 or 3 times each week, debauchery, right? Yeah. So since you use it, would somebody explain to me what that is? Well, no, I had to look it up. I'm not going to give you the dictionary definition, but let me give you my version. That is, don't get drunk with wine. Listen, it's a dead end. It's foolish. It's unwise. He said, don't be foolish. Don't be unwise. It's foolish. It's unwise. You'll end up under its power. You'll end up out of control, out of self-control. Instead, be filled with the Spirit of Christ. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. Be led by His Spirit, controlled by His Spirit, empowered by His Spirit. Just before Jesus died, He had a conversation with His disciples, and He said, you know what, guys? I'm not physically going to be with you. I will be with you till the end of the age in spirit, but my physical body will not be here present with you. I am with you, but I'm going to send you another comforter. I am with you, but He will be in you. And He was talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, let me show you a slide. And now, I spent 10 years with Campus Crusade for Christ, so if this looks familiar, guilty. Life without the Spirit. Now, you see the cross is outside the circle? That means that, and self is on what we'll call the control place, the throne. That's where I was. Even though I thought Christ was in control, it wasn't. I was in control. I had not received Christ. When I surrendered, that's what happened. Christ came into my life. The Spirit came into me and took position of leadership, control, on the throne. I still had my personality. I still had the ego. But Christ became prominent in my life. Okay? Keep that in mind as we move ahead. But let me go back to the verb. I can take that slide down now. Let me go back to the verse. And let me help you with it just a little bit. This word to be filled, if you were to look it up in the original language, it is present tense, which means there's a continuous action taking place. It's also, and there's some dispute whether it's in the middle verse or the passive verse. Most people agree it's in the passive verse, which means I can't do it. It's something that happens to me. In the middle voice, it would mean it's something I can tap into, I can get, but I don't make happen. So either way. And lastly, it's a command. Now, if it's a command, do you think it's the will of God? So maybe that's what this means up here when it says, understand what the Lord's will is. Now, this idea then, if you put all that tense stuff together, is this. If you wanted to translate it literally, it would be something like, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, as one translation has it, but continually be in the process of being filled with the Spirit. You see, your salvation isn't just a one-time experience, and then you can, you know, go your way and not look at your Bible again and you got it made. It's true you can never lose your salvation. But it's also true that when you become a believer, there's a process that's continually going on for you. You are always in the process of learning and growing. You'll never arrive until you're there with the Lord. So there's always something new. You learn X. Well, let's not start there. You learn A, B, and C, and God says, hallelujah. Now, let me show you D, E, and F. And you continue to grant it. And it's Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. That's Him. It's a continuing process. Be continuously in the process of being filled. Why do you need to be continually in the process of being filled? Let me give you a short answer. The middle letter is I. There's an S at the beginning and an N at the end. Because we're not perfect. And what the Spirit of God does is show us what we need to deal with next. Here's a place where you're not allowing me to be in control. And if you're not allowing me to be in control, that's sin. So that's why we don't experience it. John puts it this way in 1 John, in verses 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from him, and we declare to you, and it sounds like the same verse of Scripture, God is light. Now get this, in him there is how much darkness? None. In him there is no darkness at all. Now listen, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we're not telling ourselves the truth. We lie and we do not live out the truth. Now let me explain that. You know this idea of being in fellowship. What it means is being in fellowship with God. And let me illustrate it for you with my hands. Before you became a Christian and you were moving around in your life, and then you met God. And when you received God into your life, he took hold of you and you took hold of him. And this bond is fellowship. Now, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, this is the way we walk, like this. Okay? There's no darkness at all in us. And if there any darkness shows up and we're like this and we deal with it immediately, then God takes care of it, because that's the next part of the verse. But if we walk in the light, like this, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, one another means he and I, God and me, Jesus and me, the Holy Spirit and me. This is in fellowship with him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, continually keeps us clean, cleanses us continually from all unrighteousness. In other words, we never break fellowship. We never break this bond. If some sin occurs, what we need to do in the light, if it's in the light, it's exposed. And so we see it. We see it and we say, God, no, God, boy, I just blew it. That is so wrong. And I thank you that you forgave me, and I trust you. And then that bond stays together, because immediately it's in the light before him. Now that's a key piece. Now I want to talk to you about two things in following. One is walking. Now, some of us walked a lot better when we were 20. And the other is breathing. Some of us breathed a lot better when we were 20. But let me say, how many of you are parents or grandparents? So you'll know this truth better than anybody else. When you watched your youngsters or your grandchildren, and those of you who don't have children yet, you'll see this. When they learned to walk, did they pop up out of the crib and run? It was a process. It was very awkward at first. They fell down. They got up. They couldn't even turn over at first. But by the time they reached 20, in most cases, it was second nature to walk. So I want to talk to you about a process that at first will seem almost mechanical, but it's just like learning to walk. It'll be awkward at first, but after a while, it'll become second nature to you. The same thing is going to be true about breathing. But I'm going to start with the walking. Because if we walk in the light as he is in the light, completely open before God, we have continuous fellowship, unbroken with him. His blood is cleansing us. But if we sin, and then we get the next part of the 1 John verse up there, starting with verse 8. First of all, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, is the way I learned it. He'll forgive us our sins and purify us all of all unrighteousness. But again, it says, if we claim we haven't sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word isn't in us. So now, let me give you your picture again. All right? You're in fellowship with God. Okay? So if you're walking in the light, immediately something goes wrong, you make it right, and you never break this bond. Now, if you sin and you don't deal with it, here's what happens. God doesn't let loose of you. You let loose of him. He doesn't turn his back on you. You turn your back on him. You may not know that you're turning your back on him, but when you don't acknowledge the sin, because he says you will sin, when you don't acknowledge it, then who are you depending on? Are you depending on God or are you depending on yourself? You're depending on yourself, right? If you're depending on yourself, then God's not in control. And fellowship with God is broken. Now, how can you fix it? Well, you fix it with the next verse. The next verse is, and when you realize that, and you go to God and say, you know what, God, you're right, I'm wrong. That's the essence, by the way, of confession. Confession is agreeing with God. God, you're right, I'm wrong. Lord, you're right, that wasn't what you want me to do. That was sin. And I thank you for forgiving me of my sins. And I want you to be in control. And we reach back and say, I want you to be back in control. And he never left you. Isn't that cool? And you come back with him. Now, let me give you this next slide. Here's what we have. Before we met Christ, we were self-centered. When we invited him into our life and the Spirit of God came into our life, he took position of control. Self was in second place. But when we leave God out and we don't acknowledge our sin, we put ourselves back in control. Now, the question mark there is because of this question. What in the world can I do about it? Well, now I'm going to talk about breathing. But you're saying, well, wait a minute. When are you going to talk about walking? Well, I just did. If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, day by day, walking with him, you're continually being cleansed. Now, if you stumble and he's no longer in control, you need to take a fresh breath. Now, process of breathing. Make a long story short. You breathe in, you breathe out. Got that part? Now, you breathe out, I'm going to just use a euphemism. If you breathe out the bad air, it's not really bad air, but the carbon dioxide, you keep that stuff in you, it's not good. You get rid of the carbon dioxide, and you breathe in the oxygen. Same way, you breathe out the sin, and you breathe in life. Regeneration, you breathe in that fullness of the Holy Spirit. You claim it for yourself. That's the process. The confession is what we just read. Put that slide up again where it says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So it hinges on exhaling, confession, agreeing with God. And he'll do the work. You see, I don't do the work. He does the work. He does the purifying. He does the cleansing. Now, let me repeat something. I just stuttered because I'm thinking repeat, and the word I have down here is repent. And they're so close. But let me repeat, you need to repent. Now, repent means changing my attitude. Changing my direction. So you don't just feel sorry, so you say, Lord, I'm sorry. You ever had your grandkid? I'm sorry. Oh, no, you're sorry. You got caught. The question is, do you realize you did wrong? Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. It needs to have that element. Now, when I inhale, let me give you the short version, you surrender. You surrender. You yield control of your life to Christ. And in faith, ask him to take full control, to fill you. Again, to continue being filled with his Spirit. And you thank him by faith. Now, will he answer? Will he answer? Now, that's not the word I have. The word I have is absolutely. No question. You know why? Because that's what he wants. That's what his will is, that we're continually being filled. And when we say, Lord, I want to be filled, he says, all right, yes, absolutely. And there's also a promise that I want you to be aware of. Well, first of all, let me put the third slide up. So now what we have is by breathing, we become a Christian, Christ in control. If we've been doing it on our own and we allow him to control us again, we get back to the place where that's on the throne. Now, let's look at another verse in 1 John. It's a promise. I want you to remember, it's his command, be ye being filled. He commands it. It's his will. Now, look at this promise. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Lord, of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Isn't that cool? So that you may think. He says, I'm writing these things so you know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. You ready? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Now, it's his will that we confess our sin to him. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to purify us of all unrighteousness. And we know that if we're doing his will, which is to be filled, and we ask to be filled, that he will fill us because he says so. Now, we know so by the trustworthiness of God and his word, not because we feel good. Hope you do feel good, but you may not. It's not a feeling. It's a faith issue. Now, we used to give an illustration that had a steam locomotive and a train, but some of you have never actually seen an operating steam locomotive. Now, in the presentation in Crusade, they use an airplane. They say, you get on the airplane, you put your trust in the pilot. Now, it doesn't depend on how you feel. I mean, I've seen people, and the plane takes off, they're going like this. They don't feel safe at all. But they're on the plane, and they put their trust. And so we put our faith in the trustworthiness of God in his word and take the flight. All right, we know because of that trustworthiness. Now, let me ask you three questions. You ready? Question number one. Are you ready to surrender? Are you ready to honestly agree with God that you haven't been letting him have full control? Are you ready to be filled? Then let me show you a suggested prayer. Let me just read it to you first, because repeating a prayer is only a vehicle. If you can't answer those three questions, yeah, that's what I really want. If it's not your heart's desire, then this doesn't make any sense. Dear Father, I need you. You need him? I acknowledge that I've sinned against you by directing my own life. I thank you that you've forgiven my sins through Christ's death on the cross for me. I now invite Christ to again take his place on the throne of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as you commanded me to be filled and as you promised in your word that you would do if I asked in faith. I pray this in the name of Jesus. And I now thank you for filling me with the Holy Spirit and directing my life. Now, if you find yourself, as I found myself in reading this, and you've presumed that you are a Christian because you prayed the prayer once, but your life hasn't really changed, this may be a moment of salvation for you and surrender. That'd be great. As a believer, if you realize in this daily battle that you're not perfect, it's a chance for you to start again. And let me say something else. If you'll take these two processes, that is walking in the Spirit, and if you deny him in any way, you can breathe spiritually and be reunited. So if you'll take spiritual breathing and walking with you, wow, you'll find your life dramatically impacted.